Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
But it might make you feel good. Save the most recent 1,000. Delete all the rest of them. You're never going to read them.
Actually.
No, you're not. Don't try to tell me otherwise.
We're on, and we didn't hear any music. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, March 2nd. 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody, we're on now, is that right?
Well, that's what he said, so great notice. I just love it when our private conversations, but actually we're talking about emails. I have so many of them, but and having a little bit of a difficult problem opening them. It's Monday, March 2nd, 2015. Thank you for joining us today. Good afternoon, Al.
Melody.
You said that.
Yep, and I already said hello.
It just throws you off, if you know what I mean. But
I know what
professional that we are, let's go ahead and get gold prices today. Gold is down $8.40 a day at $12.06 in the aftermarket on the New York spot price. Silver down 25 at $16.42. You have platinum unchanged, $11.90. Palladium has just taken a boat ride to the upside today, up 12 at $832. You have USDX today up 0.22 at 95.48. Crude oil is up a little bit, a few cents at 49.83. And the paper markets were just happy for some reason today. The market report today. Yeah, the Dow up 155 points. 18,288. You have the NASDAQ closed up over 5,000 at 44.57. The S&P is up 12 at 21.17. And you have the 10-year yield up 0.08 at 2.08%. Euro took another hit today, down 0.12 at 1.12. And I guess this is all in the backs of China. I saw earlier today that China decided to cut their rates one more time. That's the only other thing I could see why the markets did what they did. The Asian markets were just up slight. They were just up slight. Germany was up, 8 points. Hong Kong was up 64 points. Japan, Nikkei was up 28. So no big moves there except in the U.S. markets. And maybe the markets are just happy based on all the discussions of this presidential people. and had their meetings this weekend, the CPAC meeting this weekend.
Or, maybe they're all going to ride on the same airplane one of these.
Or maybe it's because Netanyahu. Or maybe it's because Netanyahu.
Optimism.
Maybe it's because Netanyahu is here.
Well, I doubt that Netanyahu has inspired everybody.
I can't imagine.
Here's talking about this. NASDAQ Composite Index. This is from Bloomberg. NASDAQ Composite Index reaches 5,000 for the first time since 2000. U.S. stocks rose, briefly sending NASDAQ Composite Index above 5,000 for the first time in 15 years. While Treasury slumped and the dollar advanced. Standard & Poor's 500 Index climbed 0.4% at 2:02 p.m. in New York, led by consumer discretionary companies. The yield on 10-year treasuries rose 7 basis points. Bloomberg dollar spot gained 0.3%. Oil in New York climbed to 0.7%. The yuan fell to a 2-year low as China cut interest rates. The NASDAQ briefly surpassed a level it has exceeded only on 7 other days, all of them in March of 2000. It's interesting that it broke the 5,000 barrier in March of 2000, and once again, it's breaking the 5,000 barrier in March of 2015. In 2000, if I understand correctly, this was an extraordinary achievement for the NASDAQ to break 2,000. It had been about 2,500 6 months earlier, and before the end of the year in 2000, it had fallen back to 2,500 or thereabouts. So we were looking at a real bubble back then. And I doubt that this is a different time. 5,000 is different today than it was back in March. This is not evidence that the NASDAQ is going to necessarily fall. And, you know, went up, broke 5,000 again, and now we're going to see a big collapse. Well,
no,
probably not. I don't think that's going to happen. But here's an interesting article that goes along with this and some of the things you were saying when you opened the program up and you're giving the market reports and you're saying, I don't know why, you're saying, I don't know why the markets went up today. All right? And here's an article.
Well, I know why, but.
Well, nevertheless, you said
I know why,
said,
but
can't deny it. It's on the recording. Frank, replay the recording so we can verify that Melody said, okay, don't bother doing that. But here's where I'm going with this. This is an article from ZeroHedge.com, and the headline is Ex-Plunge Protection Team Whistleblower. Governments control markets. There is no price discovery anymore. Now, this is an interesting point, and I think the woman who made this point is exactly right. I hadn't thought of it before. I don't know of anyone else who has, and yet I think she's exactly right. She's claiming, and what's her name? Dr. Pippa Malmgren, former member of the U.S. President's Working Group on Financial Markets. She was in the Plunge Protection Team. She says it's not a conspiracy theory, but a conspiracy fact. There's no price discovery anymore by the market. Governments impose prices on the markets. And what she's saying, and she's saying that the government has effectively taken over all of the markets, and they're setting the prices, all right, by various devices. Now, fundamental purpose of markets is to find what is the price of a particular commodity, a particular metal, a particular automobile, a particular airplane. We find out what people are willing to pay for them, and that tells us how to conduct our own affairs. If we're making airplanes, for example, and it turns out we're thinking about selling these airplanes for $500,000 each, but the world is willing to pay $1 million a piece for them, the market tells us, and it tells the rest of the world, what the real value of our airplanes is. Likewise, the markets could come back and say, I'm not going to buy one of those airplanes. I'm not going to pay more than $250,000. That thing is junk. Well, that's another way where the markets are telling us what the real price of that airplane is. I can make airplanes, and I can go out and I can charge $1 billion a piece for them. But I can't necessarily get that $1 billion unless the markets say, yeah, that's a heck of an airplane. We can pay $1 billion for that. The purpose, what I'm trying to illustrate is it's easy for a manufacturer to set a price for his product, and that price might be too high, it might be too low. You don't know what the price is until the market says yes, no, maybe, and the free market establishes a price. And based on that, let's suppose I'm making airplanes, I want to sell them for $500,000 a piece, and the market says we ain't going to pay a nickel over $250,000. Well, it's time for me to stop making airplanes. Maybe I should go back to making bicycles or who knows what. You understand? But the markets tell us. They give us a system of values where we can decide whether we should make more airplanes or not make more airplanes. All right? Or find a more efficient way of making more airplanes or raise the price. The markets give us that guidance, and we can rely on that. Although it's in a constant state of flux, we can generally rely on that to tell us what to do. Shall I make more airplanes or shall I make less? The market tells us that. But when the government moves into the markets, now the government is telling some people that your airplane that you're charging $500,000 for is actually worth $5 million. President Obama likes some of these aircraft manufacturers. Let's give him $5 million. And he dislikes others, and he says, I cut that price down to $250,000. Well, without accurate price discovery, without the free market, it distorts the economy. We have people that are making lousy airplanes that are selling them for $5 million a piece because the government has ruled, in this hypothetical example, the government says, these planes are worth $5 million. Well, we put resources into that. Nobody wants the planes. And yet the price is super high. This is the problem with central planning. It's one of the reasons the Soviet Union collapsed. In the end, the brilliant bureaucrats, they would set the prices. They would decide whether to make 1 million shoes or 500 million shoes. And they frequently chose to make 500 million shoes. But the nation didn't need. Soviet unions didn't need 500 million. And the distortions, we were allocating resources that should have gone maybe into medical care were going into the manufacture of shoes. And the result was the mortality rate increased. More people were dying. They weren't getting enough health care. They had more shoes than they knew what to do with. The free market will presumably correct these kinds of distortions and keep us running at maximum efficiency. And that's why we want the free market. And what this lady, again, Dr. Pippa Malmgren, what she's saying, look, the governments have taken over the markets. There is no price discovery anymore. And without the free market to set those prices and tell us what to do, we are left to wander around. You know, like sheep, what shall we do? Shall we make more? Shall we make less? Shall we make this? Shall we make that? What shall we do? We don't have reliable price discovery. So, for me, this is part of the reason why Melody says earlier in the program, I don't know why the markets went up today. Well, it's apparently because someone, if Ms. Malmgren is correct, it's because the government said, well, let's make the markets go up 150 points today. What do you say? Somebody, 150. Do it, let's do 150. And where are we? What does that tell us? It doesn't tell us anything except government wants the price to go higher. And we don't know if that's real. Is that based on objective reality, wishful thinking? What? And, you know, you look at this and it's like driving a car. Got somebody who's steering to the left, to the right. They're blind, doesn't know, we don't know. Where's the road going? We don't know where the real road is. We just know that somebody is there at central planning and says, steer left, steer right, go faster, go slower, and they don't know where the real road is. We have to look at that and consider this is probably going to lead to a crack up. You know, so in any case, there's my take on it, and I agree with Ms. Malmgren. Malmgren, Dr. Pippa Malmgren. There's no price discovery anymore, not by the free market. And that has to contribute to confusion, and confusion has to contribute to misallocation of resources, and that misallocation of resources, I mean, it inevitably leads to some sort of a crack-up. In the case of the Soviet Union, which was beset by central planning for, 60, 80 years, however long it lasted, it eventually just reached a point where the central planning just collapsed the whole Soviet Union. The clowns in the Kremlin were not bright enough. They thought they were. It was great to think you're smart enough to run the whole economy, but they weren't bright enough to do it. And I doubt that the clowns in Washington, D.C. are any smarter than the clowns in central planning at the Soviet Union. So, I sit back from my perspective, I look at this, and for me, this is another sign where you sit back and say, okay, price of gold's $1,200 an ounce. I think the real price should be $2,000 or $3,000 or God knows what it should be. I think it should be enormously higher, but it's not. So what do? My opinion, you sit back and say, well, I'm betting that central planning will fail, that we're going to have to go back to the free market. I'm betting that when we do, the price of gold is going to just fly through the air. It's going to go up, 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 and up. To me, this is like reading history. We just don't know, and I don't know when it's going to happen. But I don't believe it's going to be 50 years or 20 years or even 10 years from now. I'm going to be surprised if it doesn't happen in the next three, and it could in the next 3 years, and it could happen in the next 90 days. I don't know. But central planning fails, and we're engaged in central planning. That's what the government's doing. If they're setting the prices in the markets, they're engaged in central planning. It'll blow up in everybody's face, and when it does, those of you that are holding gold are going to say, you know, that was one of the smartest things I ever did. Those of you who are not are going to say, oops, I made a mistake. Should have got gold. What else, Melody?
Well, I agree, but I do know why these markets are higher. It's just usually when you have a big gain of 150 points, usually they'll tag it to something. And certainly maybe it's just the, you know, euphoria of the NASDAQ hitting 5,000 that moved all the other markets higher too. I mean, that was their goal and they succeeded. I mean, after the housing bubble burst, you had the Dow drop below 7,000. Now it's over 18,000. You have both the other markets hitting all these old highs. And how can anyone really truly believe that it is attributed to any type of wealth production? You've got trillions of dollars that have been borrowed by the government to stimulate our economy. And that is what has pushed these levels of these markets to all these highs. Absolutely, the market is rigged. It's been rigged for a long time. It is a casino, and we know, and you're right. The central planning, I mean, it can only be successful for a period of time because you run out. I mean, the whole market is just based on debt. So, I mean, we're back to that. I mean, it's like a circle. But, of course, I know why those markets are higher. And usually when you have these big runs or 150 points in a day in the Dow, there's usually maybe one. Maybe there was a stock or two that did extremely well to push it up above those levels. And this week you have Berkshire Hathaway. You have Warren Buffett paraded all around on the financial news programs. And, you know, it's just nauseous. They have to make the markets high, and who knows, maybe there's another big, you know, I don't know if there's any meetings or anything, here in the near future, but, it can't go on. And it's designed, you know, you talk about the central planning, it's designed for people that don't know any better. They know, it's just like Obamacare. Oh, yeah. Well, we knew the voters out there were dumb enough to accept it. So, you know, we can get through with it. We made it that they'd approve it. And the markets are the same thing. You know, the people out there are dumb enough to believe it. You know, so give them a little carrot. Keep them quiet so we can continue with, you know, where we become billionaires. And I just saw the list of billionaires increased once again. So anyway, we're ready for break.
I'm ready. All right, let's not talk about it until we're absolutely certain we're on the break. So we'll just take a break right now. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Here's some news you can use. All right. KFC, this is from an English publication. I don't know which one. For whatever reason, the clipping, I don't have the source. But KFC plans to roll out edible coffee cups in the United Kingdom. Okay. KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, is planning to serve its customers coffee in a cup they can eat. Fast food chain will soon debut edible cups at all its UK franchises, the New York Times reported. The cups will be made from wafers lined with heat-resistant white chocolate and wrapped in sugar paper. And it will be introduced to to KFC along with Starbucks brand Seattle's best coffee. This type of edible packaging is definitely aligned with global consumer mindset in terms of sustainability and simplifying their life. This according to Shilpa Rosenberry, a senior director for global consumer strategy at consulting firm Damon Worldwide, yada yada. What the heck is she talking about? We're going to have edible coffee cups because this is aligned with global consumer mindset in terms of sustainability and simplifying our lives? I would say a cup that you can eat is not a cup that you can grab, that you can guarantee is going to hold your coffee. That'd be the first thing I'd say. I'd say the probability that the cup is going to leak and stain your dress or your pants or whatever it is you're wearing is it's got to be increased. And I don't see how that's going to simplify the global consumer's life. All right. But in any case, soon we can expect to see edible packaging on our Frosted Flakes. Just throw a box of cereal into your bowl, add milk, and you'll be able to eat the cereal and its packaging. We'll have steaks on the grill that we don't have to remove from the grocery store's packaging. You know, they got the insulated base on it, and they've got the transparent plastic on the top. And I said, you don't have to take the steak out of that. You just throw the whole thing on the grill, and it will be seasoned by the packaging. Edible packaging. It's what's for dinner, Melody.
Well, I've heard of edible underwear, but anyway.
I hadn't thought about that, but
no, well,
probably a variation on the same theme. Huh?
Earlier I talked about the Forbes billionaires, 290 newcomers are joining the list in the last year. And again, as all these markets just defy all of this international turmoil. I mean, my gosh, you had wars, diseases, currency crisis, I mean, on and on and on, but people are still making these 10-figure fortunes. Nearly 25% of this year's first-time billionaires hail from China, which produced a world-leading 71 newcomers. The United States came in second with 57, followed by India and Germany, which I thought was interesting. Germany had 23. The most famous rookie on the billionaires list, Michael Jordan. We all know he was a great basketball player and the best paid athlete of all time. A lot of his cash comes from his Nike payouts of his brand. His brand grossed an estimated $2.25 billion in 2013. But his most valuable asset and his stake is the Charlotte Hornets, and that's worth more than $500 million. And then you even have the Microsoft CEO, Steve Ballmer. He bought the L.A. Clippers for $2 billion. So it's like if you want to be a billionaire, all you have to do is buy a sports team, which look where all that money comes from. The people out there going week after week for entertainment to all these ball games, and they pay these ridiculous prices. And it's astounding. It's amazing. So there's, to me, I see that as there's still a lot of money floating around in these economies when you have the owners are becoming billionaires. Not right. Only, of course, on the, just on their sports teams, but still a big portion of it certainly is from those sports teams. And to me, it's just, you know, the numbers are staggering. 290 new billionaires in this world.
Well, I
don't know. Goes to show how worthless the currencies truly are. Because, I mean, it's just like we've accepted millions, we accepted billions. They're close to trillions. Yeah. And it's like they mean nothing. The numbers mean nothing anymore.
It's just a way of keeping score.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. And to say so isn't just hyperbole. In fact, there's two ways of counting money. There are two, money can serve two purposes, or what passes for money. It can be a unit of value, or it can be a unit of account. Right? Gold is a unit of value. We deal in terms of how many ounces of gold ultimately do you have, or how many coins of a particular mint state condition and year and so on do you have. But money, the currency that we use, the green pieces of paper, the digital currency, is only a medium of account. It's not a medium of value. It's a medium of account. These are two entirely different phenomena. It's a currency. It's just like Monopoly money. Monopoly money is a medium of account. It tells us who's winning the Monopoly game. But it doesn't have any intrinsic value. Our currency tells us who's winning the economic game, but it doesn't have any intrinsic value. So as a result, it's a way of counting, but it's not a way of valuing. And the distinction is something that very few people understand, appreciate, recognize, even imagine. And as a result, the day is going to come when we're going to see the 290 new billionaires are going to find out that all of a sudden they are no longer billionaires, but there may be, who knows, they may be reduced back to where they are tens of millionaires, meaning instead of having $1 billion or more, they're going to have $10 million. Why? Because their billions are calculated in media of accounts rather than media of value.
There was a release just not too long ago. I just got it. It was $4.8 million in gold stolen from a truck in North Carolina. This was released by the AP. Armed robbers stole about $4.8 million in gold bars on Sunday from an armored truck traveling north along Interstate 95 from Florida to Massachusetts. Two security guards working for TransValue Inc. of Miami reported pulling off to the side of the interstate about 6:30 p.m. Sunday after their armored truck began having mechanical problems. They were approached by three armed men driving a white van, who ordered the guard to lie on the ground, tie their hands, blah, blah, blah. TransValue said the stolen gold bars weighed a total of about 275 pounds, and just the truck was carrying the gold from Miami, and it's heading to a Attleboro, Massachusetts, the town south of Boston. So they have a lot of manufacturers. They're jewelry manufacturers there. So, and
well,
what's
the
funny,
first time the truck's been robbed of a unit of value rather than a unit of account, probably in, you know, recent history. And this is interesting robbery because somebody had to know that gold's on the truck.
And what's funny is the company is offering a $50,000 reward.
Whoa, really?
I know. Hold $50,000 for 4.8 million. I mean, $50,000 is nothing to sneeze at, but, you know.
Yeah, they'll get a lot of replies out of that one. There'd be people if they had a 50, you know, I mean, the bank robbers or the truck robbers, the gold robbers. They could post an ad in the newspaper. Anybody knows who we are, we'll give you $50,000. Just keep your mouth shut. Matter of fact, we'll give you $100,000. So.
What's next, Al?
I don't know. We've got here. Here's something that's interesting. This is interesting. You may have seen, everyone in the audience has probably seen this already. It is a Middle East publication reported on Sunday that well-placed sources confirmed an unnamed Israeli minister disclosed a plan to Secretary of State John Kerry that Israel, this happened sometime in the past, that Israel was preparing to send its jet fighters across to bomb a nuclear facility in Iran. And Obama reportedly told them, you go ahead and set those planes up and we will shoot the Israeli aircraft out of the sky. Now, that report came out a couple of days ago, and here's the one that is, as of Sunday, and the headline from the Washington Times is, administration denies Obama threatened to shoot down Israeli warplanes. President Obama threatened last year to use U.S. military to shoot down Israeli fighter jets if they attempted to destroy Iranian nuclear facilities. And this, of course, a Middle East outlet, yada, yada. The Obama administration has since denounced these reports as flatly untrue. Mr. Obama's threat reportedly deterred Israeli Minister Benjamin Netanyahu from dispatching warplanes into Iran after Israel discovered that the U.S. had entered into secret talks with Tehran, and that they and that the two countries had signed an agreement, apparently a secret agreement between the United States and Iran. And based on this secret agreement, after years of people singing bomb, 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 Iran, we have now reached a secret agreement with Iran where we're not going to bomb, bomb, bomb Iran. And it's fascinating to me that President Obama has apparently entered into this secret agreement with Iran. Well, entered into this agreement with Iran, apparently in secret, and Iran is a Muslim country. You know, there have been suspicions that President Obama is himself Muslim. He's denied it, but his behavior in some instances suggests that may be true. And certainly, by turning his back on Israel and saying, we'll shoot your aircraft out of the sky if you try to bomb Iran, we are now not protecting Israel, we are protecting Iran. Now, the government has denied these reports. They say they're untrue. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say, think, or feel about this per se. Generally, I think if the government says something is untrue, that's usually good evidence that it is true. It's not, you know, of course, that's not always the case. But what do you think, Melody? Do you think our government has reached some sort of an agreement with Iran to defend Iran against Israel?
You know, you don't know. However, look at all the things that Obama has done and signed by executive orders. I mean, he's truly doing things that, you know, leaves many people puzzled, but shocked. And I was hearing a report this morning where in Iraq you have the one city where Osama bin Laden's birthplace, that there's troops that they're in there attacking ISIS, and they're having a pretty good show, but there's no Americans there, which is okay, but it's led to believe that it's being led by the Iranian military. So has Washington agreed to all these things with Iran so they come in and clean up the mess in Iraq? But they're not going to just walk away after they clean it up. So it's, I mean, I
yeah, you wonder about this. I mean, that's a good point because it could explain. Mm-hmm. The first order of business is I would put nothing past Obama.
Mm-mm.
All right? That's the first order of business. This guy will do whatever he feels like doing. If it feels good, do it. He'll do it. All right? If it feels good to him, he'll do it. These reports are plausible. Not necessarily true, but plausible. Second point is, apparently there's a secret negotiation, secret agreement between Iran and the Obama administration, if this report is true. We can wonder, is that secrecy there because they want to protect the Obama administration from exposure to the American people, that it's decided to side with Iran rather than with Israel? Is that why it's secret? Or is it secret because Iran doesn't want to be exposed in the world as playing an active role in trying to knock down ISIS? Which country's secrecy is being protected? Right? It doesn't have to necessarily be both of them. It could be both, or it could be one or the other. So again, this is one of these stories. I wouldn't put it past Obama, point one. And if it's true, it really does open some very interesting changes for the Middle East. I mean, if we're defending Iran rather than Israel, then something big is going on, something strange, something unpredictable. And it's, you know, another one of those leaves in the breeze that says we're not headed for happy times, not headed for stable times. There is instability and chaos headed our way. Also, commercials. Going to take some commercials along with our instability and chaos. Starting those commercials now. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Here's an article from Reuters, just out in the last little while. A year after fleeing Ukraine, Yanukovych speaks of return. Okay, now Yanukovych was the president of the lawfully elected government of Ukraine until about this time a year ago, when, thanks largely to the United States, a revolution took place which overthrew the lawful government and that was in favor of closer relationships with Russia and replaced it with the current government, which was in favor of closer relationships with the United States. Now, the new government's essentially just a U.S. puppet. They don't talk about it much in the mainstream media, but that's the reality of it. These are not, the revolution in the Ukraine was not just something that happened because the people were all unhappy with their government. It was fomented to a large degree by the United States. So, Yanukovych, he was ousted a year ago, and he is now suggesting, and he's been staying in Russia. And here's the article. House of Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych who fled to Russia a year ago after being toppled by months of street protests, said he was ready to return to Ukraine if the opportunity arose. The pro-Russian leader was overthrown by the Maidan uprising in Kiev against his decision to back away from a deal that would have taken the country towards integration with Europe and instead tighten the economic ties with Russia. Right? And now he's saying, well, in the right circumstances, I might come back. And I'm wondering if he's just talking through his hat and just making conversation, or if he's kind of thrown his hat into the ring and saying, look, you guys are so messed up in Ukraine right now that maybe the only way to really get out of this problem is to restore the pro-Russian, lawfully elected government that was there in Ukraine until it was overthrown last year, you know, about a year ago. And if he were brought back, would that be the wild card needed to end the current Ukrainian crisis? If Yanukovych could be reinstalled as president, would that end the revolution and the conflict and the shooting and the deaths and the rest? Does that seem plausible to you, Melody?
Well, Putin needs something, particularly after this weekend, after his critic was assassinated. I guess they're having, you know, a lot of demonstrations over there now after, and I'm just reading the headlines that even another Putin critic is killed. So, you don't want to say anything bad about Putin.
No.
But it was interesting. I was reading, you know, we hear all these reports about how 80% of the people, you know, still support him and so forth. And even, is that the truth? Are we even really hearing the truth about his ability to lead Russia anymore? They certainly have lost jobs. Their economy is hurting. And, you know, this is, you know, you're bound to lose, you know, the support of your people when, you know, their currency has dropped 50% and, you know, it becomes difficult. You're no longer going to support that leader. So, you know, you could possibly see things coming out of there that's just not the truth. And so he certainly does need something. And is he losing?
I don't know that he's losing, but he's in a quagmire here. And I'm sure he'd like to see this thing resolved. All right, one way or another, I don't think Putin really wants. I think he just wants to keep people off his back, essentially. I think he understands that he has the primary influence in Ukraine because he's right next door. And as a result, no matter how this works out in the next 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever, ultimately Ukraine will probably, or much of Ukraine, even if that has to be divided, it's going to gravitate into the Russian orbit. You know, it's going to become more closely associated with Russia and less closely associated with the United States or Europe or NATO. So he's going to win, but how soon? How soon does he win, Melody? In the next 60 days or in the next 5 years? He doesn't want this to last 5 years.
If he wins.
I think he has to, because he's the dominant force relative to Ukraine. He understands that. Ukraine can't fight Russia. And NATO probably can't support Ukraine, and the United States ultimately can't provide sufficient support for Ukraine to win. And most of the people, it's not even clear that the Ukrainian people are in favor of the Ukrainian government. Some of them are, but it's not necessarily a majority. They're not just fighting a handful of rebels in the eastern Ukraine. They're fighting a significant part of the population that are ethnically Russian. They want to be more closely associated with Russia. The previous lawful government was in favor of closer associations with Russia. If anything, it was a minority of Ukrainians that were against closer associations with Russia. And yet they overthrew the existing government, said, no, we're going to go closer to the United States. You know, this whole thing is, I doubt that the current current Ukrainian government. I doubt that they can really count on the loyalty of the vast majority of the Ukrainian people. So, how are you going to win? How are you going to win when most of your people, most of your, even your troops, probably don't really support the existing government? I don't think they can.
Well, I think there was a recent update about 5 hours ago where the Europe said it hoped for a positive outcome today as Russian and Ukrainian energy ministers held talks in Brussels trying to resolve the gas supply dispute that's threatening those deliveries to Europe. I mean, that's a separate issue. But they're still having problems. The European Union receives about a third of its gas from Russia, mm-hmm. with about half of that going through the Ukraine pipeline. So,
which is another reason why
the European Union
is not necessarily working closely with the United States in this matter. Russia being the supplier, I mean, it's what have you done for me lately? Russia's giving them gas. I don't mean for free. They're selling it. They're providing natural gas to Europe that helps them get through the winters and provides energy for their machinery and whatever in the summertime. They're getting something that they need out of Russia, and they don't want to mess that up. So in the end, Russia's sitting there, and they're in difficult situation right now. But still, even Europe has got to sit back and say, we got to cut a deal with these guys, because if we don't, we're going to freeze to death in the dark. So Putin is playing this as an investor, and the government of Ukraine is playing as a speculator. I think Putin's got the long-term advantage and content to wait on it.
What's next now?
I don't know. We've got an article here from Reuters that refers to the Federal Reserve Chairman Stanley Fischer. It says, Fischer, he's the vice chairman, says asset purchase programs continue to buoy economy. Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Stanley Fischer said on Friday that the Fed's various quantitative easing programs continue to buoy the economy, holding down both long-term interest rates and boosting employment. Well, I don't know. They're holding. I don't see that the quantitative easing has held down long-term interest rates. That's been just held down. They said, look, here it's going to be cheap. We're going to hold the interest rates down with or without quantitative easing. We're going to hold interest rates down close to zero. So I don't see that quantitative easing had a lot to do with that. It may be consistent, but I don't see that it was a cause. And boosting employment, that's an interesting argument, because yes, the official rate, the official figures indicate that the there's more jobs, more people are being employed, unemployment is diminishing, but there are credible people out there who say that unemployment rates are 9% or more, in some instances over 20%. And the government is talking about less than 6%, and they're credible. So I'm looking at this report from Vice Chairman Stanley Fischer. I'm saying, I don't know, maybe he's just blowing smoke. Fischer said studies indicate that the Fed's accumulation and current holdings and reinvestment of some $4.2 trillion in bonds and other securities was holding down the interest on 10-year treasuries by as much as 110 basis points and had cut perhaps 1.2 percentage points from the unemployment rate. Well, they talk about they've got $4.2 trillion in bonds and other securities. What they actually have is about $3 trillion of that $4.2 trillion. More or less $3 trillion are toxic assets, which is code for pieces of paper that are no longer worth as much as people once thought they were. They have paid full price for bonds, for example, that are only worth on the free market a fraction of what they are priced at, thanks to the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve says, oh yeah, we'll give you $1 million for that bond, even though we know that if the bond was sold on the free market, you'd be lucky to get $750,000, maybe even $500,000 for that $1 million bond. So he continues, asset purchases over more recent years have provided meaningful stimulus to the economy and continue to do so. These macroeconomic effects are only now manifesting themselves in full. Well, there's a certain amount of truth or possible truth when he says these macroeconomic effects are only now manifesting themselves in full. That might be true. They pumped couple of trillion dollars into the economy, and yet we didn't get much reaction for the first several years. It may be true that we're only beginning to feel the effects of a couple of trillion dollars that were pumped into the economy, say $3 trillion. Maybe now we're getting the effect, and if that's true, it's disingenuous. That's a word that means fibbing, Melody.
I get that.
It's disingenuous for Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Stanley Fischer to say that quantitative easing has buoyed the economy and continues to do so. It's not clear. So it's not clear to me, at least. I'm sure he's entitled to his opinion. I'm entitled to mine, but it sounds like a certain amount of fibbery. Is there such a word? Is there a word called fibbery, Melody?
There is now.
It's kind of like helk.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. I own the word helk, as you know, because I created that back in the day. Instead of saying heck or the other word, I said helk. And I own that one, and now I also own fibbery. I'm going to get a copyright on that. And anybody who says fibbery, I'm going to have to pay a licensing fee for saying fibbery or helk. I may be able to retire just on the licensing fees of those words alone, Melody. What do you think?
You think so?
Well, that's possible. I don't know. It's part of this idea that we are living in a world that is so dominated by lies. Melody was talking about, is Putin telling the truth? Are we getting the truth out of Russia? Well, of course not. You know? Of course we're not. If they're in trouble, they're not going to admit it. The extent of the trouble will not be admitted. Where do you go to find the truth? Interesting question. Here's another one from employmentdata.com. Headline is, Gallup Head says unemployment rate is a big lie. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics released the unemployment rate for January 2015. Adjusted U3 unemployment rose insignificantly from 5.6% to 5.7%. Unadjusted employment rose more significantly from 5.4% to 6.1% in January. Unadjusted U6 unemployment, i.e., including discouraged workers who have given up working, plus those working part-time but seeking full-time employment, jumped from 11.1% December to 12% January. All right, but the big news is that Jim Clifton, the CEO of Gallup Polls, said that the unemployment is really closer to 9%. He said, there's no other way to say this. The official unemployment rate, which cruelly overlooks the suffering of long-term and often permanently unemployed, as well as depressingly underemployed, amounts to a big lie. I hear all the time that unemployment is greatly reduced, but the people aren't feeling it. When the media, talking heads, the White House, and Wall Street start reporting the truth, the percent of Americans in good jobs, jobs that are full-time and real, then we will quit wondering why Americans aren't feeling something that doesn't remotely reflect the reality of their lives. And we will also quit wondering what hollowed out the middle class. Based on demographic trends, I suggest the real unemployment rate after weeding out disability fraud, forced retirement, kids hiding out in school for lack of a job, and those who are not counted as the unemployed simply because they gave up looking is more like 9% than 7%. And as I said, John Williams, he says it's over 20% when you factor everything in. I don't know what the truth of the matter is, but I can bet that the truth presented by the government is false. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Searstrom. We're out of time. Be back mañana. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Money.